100,000,000,000 kalpas, having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. Good morning again. Today, we celebrate Buddha's birthday. So you might see, it's difficult to see, but over my shoulder, in front of the altar, we have another setup happening. April 8th is Buddha's birthday, as we say in Soto Zen. But if you can see it, let's see if I can move properly. If you can see, there's a little kind of hut with flowers all over it and brocade altar cloth. And in that little hut is a very techno jazzy Buddha statue of the baby Buddha going like this. So, just to say, Sue and Sandy brought the flowers, and Sue built the little hut. And we're going to have a ceremony after this talk to celebrate Buddha's birthday, a short ceremony. So I'll say more about that later. So according to tradition, Shakyamuni Buddha was born on April 8th, 566 BCE in Nepal. And it's interesting that scholars agree that there probably was a man born in this part of the world that was a great religious leader at that time. So what we're doing today is expressing our thanks for the teachings and the path that he left us. And in a way, we could leave it at that and simply talk about what it means to be grateful to all those who give us wisdom, teaching, and guidance in our lives. But listening to and considering the stories that surround this birth and what it has meant to the followers of Soto Zen is also a very fruitful thing to do. As we know, every religious tradition is filled with stories. Some of those stories may seem preposterous, but they're meant to tell us something about ourselves and our world. They can be quite extraordinary, as we'll see in a minute, but that just gives us an opportunity to see what they mean for us. In this case, they encourage us to consider what Buddha is, what birth is, and how we celebrate awakening. So here's a story of Buddha's birth. There are other stories, basically the same, but with different details. In the land of the Shakya clan, a woman, Maya, who was married to a clan leader, Shakya clan leader. Sometimes she's called Queen Maya, which kind of makes the whole thing much more elaborate. Big deal. But Maya means love. So Maya was pregnant and she visited a beautiful garden, Lumbini Garden. And some say she was on her way to her childhood home to give birth to her first child. And some say she simply wanted to be in a lovely flowering garden. As she walked in the garden, a flowering tree bent down to be her support. And she gave birth leaning on this tree, being sheltered and supported by this tree. It's interesting to note that Buddha later was awakened sitting under a tree. Trees are very much a part of our tradition. As this happened, music filled the air, blossoms rained down, and two Naga kings rained sweet water down upon the baby Buddha. So Nagas are kind of like dragons, they're wisdom figures. They live under the ocean and they keep sacred texts and they're quite powerful beings. Then the baby Buddha, directly after birth, stood up, walked 7 steps, and with each step, a lotus bloomed under his feet. On the 7th step, he pointed his right hand to the sky and his left hand to the earth, and with the voice of a lion said, "In heaven above and earth below, I alone am the world honored one. I will dispel suffering in the entire world." In the Pali version, they say that immediately after birth, the Buddha stands firmly on his feet and, having taken 7 strides, looks around and utters this statement. In a fearless voice, the lions roar. So, this is quite a tale. We might think, what has this got to do with me? What has this got to do with anything? But it has everything to do with us. I think it reflects how remarkable and transformative it is when the teachings of awakening enter our lives. Sometimes like a lion's roar. And the gratitude people have had for over 2,500 years for the Buddha's teachings. Recognizing the power of the teachings, we stop, we're amazed. We sometimes dive deep into our imagination to find ways to creatively express our gratitude. It's a mistake to think that this is only a birthday party for someone who lived a very long time ago. We must also ask, who is Buddha? When we do that, we find a whole world opens up. A whole world. The great teacher Matsu said, "This mind itself is Buddha. This mind, this consciousness, this being, itself is Buddha." Dogen continued, "This mind itself is Buddha is most intimate, most close, most intimate every day, day after day. Our awakening is right here in the midst of what is most ordinary, most trying, most beautiful, in the midst of our life. So we express our gratitude for the teachings, for our practice, for all those that bring wisdom and compassion and a path into the world, for the community of people who together do our best to live with wisdom and compassion. All Buddha, this very mind, this very world, this great earth, all Buddha." I have to say that when I first heard the statement, "I alone am the world honored one," I cringed. I thought, oh, you know, another religious exclusivist statement. It sounded pretty arrogant to me. Self-righteous, maybe. Above it all. But that's not what it means. This is a statement that affirms the dignity of each life, each being, of each dimension of our world. All lives are precious. All are Buddha. All are the world honored one. It is not a praise of one being over another. It affirms the potential of each being to realize the way, to embody completely wisdom and compassion in each moment. The I that Buddha is referring to is not the I that's in opposition to others, to objects. It is the I of intimacy, the I of absolute connection, And in each moment, it is absolutely unique. All the conditions of the world come together to make this moment, this individual, this expression of reality. And then they change each time, unique, complete, a realization waiting to happen, already happening. The Buddha takes 7 steps. The 7th step is the step that transcends the eye of separation and isolation. It is the eye that both goes beyond and includes the 6 realms. So we talk about the 6 realms of existence: hell realm, hungry ghosts, animals, fighting demons, human beings, and beings in the heavenly realms. All of these are descriptions. You can think of them as actual realms. Often we think of them as realms that we move in and out of. We may be in utter despair, hell realms. We may be furious in one of the fighting asuras. We may be craving. All of these are included. The 7th step includes it all and is the step of awakening, of enlightenment, of nirvana, of including everything. We live in the 6 realms, a world in which we are propelled by our delusions, our isolation, our thoughtless ways. We live in suffering in one form or another. Even if we're having an easy day, we know it's not permanent. This 7th step of awakening is waking up to in, with, as all beings, this intimacy, this connection, knowing ourselves to be not different from all. We are unbound in that moment by our delusions. They don't evaporate, but we are unbound. We're alive with generosity and intimate connection. This is the I that Buddha is referring to. In the moment Buddha is born, in that moment, wisdom and compassion come together and are expressed in the world. This is Buddha's birthday. This is an embodiment of an awakening, and it occurs when we allow wisdom and compassion to come alive in our ordinary lives. An act of kindness, generosity, patience, attention, caring, clarity. That is Buddha showing up in the world. That is the fearless lion's roar of awakening. Not some special place. Special is fine sometimes, but awakening is not about special. So our task is to make real this lion's roar in each moment. And each moment is different. It's creative. This is a creative act. Each one of us is unique. We live in unique circumstances, with unique challenges, and we are all also absolutely the same in our true nature, in our ability and in our opportunity to make real in Buddha's way. You know, when the Naga kings rain down flowers, this is a way of expressing that the world rejoices when we do this. When we express Buddha, when in Buddha's birth in each moment. You can almost hear the sigh of relief whenever Buddha manifests. It's a collective sigh of relief. And then the next moment arises. But the world is shifted, I think, with each moment of awakening. The world is shifted. We may not see it. We may not see it in ourselves. We may not see it in others, but it is. The Buddha told his disciples at the end of his life, Be ye lamps, dipa, unto yourselves. Be ye lamps unto yourselves. But he also said, hold fast to the lamp which is the Dharma. Hold fast to the lamp which is the Dharma. Be ye lamps unto yourselves and hold fast to the lamp which is the Dharma. These are not two different lamps. We are the lamp. We are the Dharma. We are life itself. And so is everything else. When we remember who we are, we become a lamp for ourselves and all being. The great poet Esau said, even the lowly bamboo shoots proclaim to the world, I alone am the world honored one. Even the lowly bamboo shoots, so ordinary, even the lowly bamboo shoots proclaims to the world, I alone am the world honored one. If we take the time to pour the sweet water of the Dharma into our lives, we will remember this. When we can see each other and everything as Buddha, as unique, as worthy of respect, worthy of listening, then the question that comes to us is, world honored one, what have you to teach me today? That's the basis of our relationship. World honored one, what have you to teach me today? Together, all of us, together. Today we're doing an extended sitting, so we'll be sitting until 4 o'clock this afternoon, and you're all welcome to join us. And each time we sit down, we can ask ourselves this question. We can recall ourselves to the teaching that in Zazen, we sit on Buddha's cushion as Buddha. That is the teaching. We might ask, what does this mean? It's not a bad question. You might take the time in your life to reflect on it. But I say, don't think too much about it. That's a trap. It's a side road. And also, don't worry. Understanding or not understanding is not the point. Asking the question, world honored one, what have you to teach me today, in this moment? That's a question all of us can ask at any moment. So we make a commitment to pour the sweet water of the Dharma into our hearts and minds and bodies and allow the world to arise. That's what we do every day. And I encourage you to think about that when you sit Zazen. I was reading Dogen's extensive record, this big old fat book. And I found a section in it that I wanted to share with you. One of the things that we do in the ceremony, normally we would all be here together, and we would each go up, and there's a little dipper there, and we pour water over the baby Buddha, just like the Naga kings, we pour water over. That's a part of the ceremony, and we would normally be chanting a verse that we would all chant together as each person went up and did this. So this section by Dogen, the founder of our school, is called Bathing with the Baby Buddha. Bathing with the Baby Buddha. And he gave this in 1242. Our Buddha, Tathagata, was born today and at once took 7 steps in all 10 directions, he says. Imagine, 10 directions, that means up and down. Who knows that with each step he gave birth to many Buddhas? This is a question. Who knows that with each step he gave birth to many Buddhas? That's us. These Buddhas are simply transmitting today's voice with the same life, same place, and same name in the past, future, and present. Homage to Shakyamuni Buddha. We pour fragrant water over the head of the statue of the baby Buddha. We bathe our elder brother. This is the principle of bathing the newborn one. How do we conduct the ceremony of bathing? For a long time, our Buddha has bathed the assembly of monks. Today, the assembly of monks pours water on our Buddha. How do we conduct this ceremony of bathing? For a long time, our Buddha has bathed the assembly of monks. That's us, right? The assembly of monks, the assembly of people who are committed, or at least exploring Soto Zen practice. Today, the assembly of monks pours water on our Buddha. And then Dogen says, "Great assembly, let's go together to the Buddha Hall and bathe our Buddha." When we do this ceremony, or when you think about this ceremony, or when you reflect on the poet Aesop saying, "Even the lowly bamboo shoots proclaims to the world, I alone am the world-honored one." When you think, what is the birth of the baby Buddha? What is the birth of Buddha in my life, day by day? Have this attitude. Pouring the sweet water of the Dharma into your heart, mind, and body, and allowing the world to arise.